you guys, we're going to do our Bible verses. So let's start off with Psalm 119, verse 11. We'll say it together, and then I'll point to you guys for individual verses. Ready? Here we go.
Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word I hid in my heart, and I did not sin against thee.
Very good. Elena, Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. Go.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother.
Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment.
His promise that it may be well with thee, thou mayest as long as.
Very good.
Now I remember.
Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Go.
For the way.
And
be kind one to another. Yes, okay, I said.
Oh, you gotta do it again. You kind of muttered. I gotta hear you loud. Ephesians 4, 32. Go.
Be kind one to another. Tender hearted, forgetting one another. Even as God for Christ and have forgiven you.
Very good. So let's do Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Ellie.
Daddy, run away.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4.
Philippians chapter 2.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4.
Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in harmonious mind let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others.
Good job. Liam, Romans chapter 3, verse 10. Go.
You can tell the difference between Romans 3 and Romans 6.
Yeah. Romans 3, 10. As it is written,
there is unrighteous, no, not one.
Very good. All right, since we don't have Declan or Andrew to help us, you guys remember Romans
3:23?
We'll say it together.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Very good. Now, Elena, Romans 6:23.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
All right, Liam, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath risen him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth and with the tongue,
mouth.
Confession is made unto salvation.
All right, you guys, good job. A little rusty on some parts, but we'll be consistent, and we'll get better at it. Good evening, everybody. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Pastor Nathan with Woodland Christian Church. I'm the associate pastor, and I've got my four kiddos. Well, five, if you count the loud one down there, who would like to be a part of this very much. So, Liam, go ahead and raise your hand. My oldest, Liam, and then Elena, and Eliana. And then Rayella. Very good.
Congratulations, Rayella.
Yep. The two of our little boys are in bed. And surprisingly,
you
quiet,
need
too.
Okay.
So remember, we're going to have a discussion. This is Wednesday. And what do we do on Wednesdays for Bible time?
Wisdom Wednesday.
So we're going to look at the particular chapter in Proverbs that corresponds with today. Today being the 6th, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 6. But first, we are going to sing a few songs. So let's do Trust and Obey, okay?
Trust and
you're going to start with the chorus?
Okay. When fellowship sweet.
Oh, let's start over. What's the first verse?
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. What we do is good will. Abides with us still, and we all who will trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust.
Orchestrate the singing here.
So
what's the next song that we're going to do, you guys? We're going to do...
Do Right.
Very good.
From the very start, have purpose in your heart to do what's right and never question why. Never count the cost, though everything seems lost. The price for doing right is sometimes high. Do right till the stars fall. Do right till the last call. Do right when there's no one else to stand by you. Do right when you're all alone. Do right. To separate the two. If you love the light, the Lord will give you light. So seek the right in everything you do. Do right till the stars fall. Do right till the last call. Do right. This one is, we're going to do all three verses of Happy Am I. You guys ready?
Okay.
Here we go. We're going to work on this. We'll get it down.
Happy am I. Jesus is mine forever, never to leave. Always in each and never leading me on. In a life giving a smile, every mile, happy am I, happy am I. All of my sins forgiven, what a great day. Life is now worth the living, one of these days, I'll be enjoying. Upward I'll go, happy am I, happy am I. How can I help but
shout it
every day? I'm telling the world about it, Jesus is real. Only believe, don't doubt it, then you will be happy like me. Happy am I.
All right, guys. Good job. Good job. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6, and I will open us up with a word of prayer. Are we going to do that?
Can I read now?
We're going to pray. Yep, go ahead and open up. Use your bookmark and open up to Proverbs chapter 6. Do you remember what verse you're supposed to be reading?
Yep.
All right. Put your finger there. There we go. Don't lose it, okay? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. That it truly is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And I thank you that it is timeless in its truth and its relevance. Help us to learn from your word what you want us to learn, and that our behavior would be a result of a change in our hearts that comes from your word. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll start off. Are we going to go in chronological order? Who's the youngest? Or who's got the
number
first
one?
Elena
has the first verse.
Aha! Okay, Elena, go ahead. Proverbs chapter 6, and where are you reading?
1 through 2.
Okay, go ahead.
My son, if thou be surety,
surety,
for thy friend, if thou hast strengthened thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth, thou art taken with the words of thy mouth.
And thy what? They didn't catch the last one.
Oh, mouth.
Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth.
Oh, my. Do you know what he's talking about here?
Yeah. I've heard your deal thing.
So should we rehearse this?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say, so what this verse is saying, let's say that I am a businessman. And then I got
rich
a nice car. And Liam, you come to me wanting to buy a car. And I say, if you want this car, you're going to have to pay me $5,000. You got that money?
Nope, only $2,000.
I'm afraid you're short, my friend. No car. But if Liam were to say, but wait, if you give me a month, you're going to pay what?
$3,000.
Oh, okay. But me as a businessman, I'd want some kind of guarantee. Because what if you don't make that money in a month? What if you break a leg? Or what assurances are you going to give me?
If I don't make that money in a month, Elaine is going to give you the money.
Ooh.
Here, Elaine, you up for the challenge?
All right. So, Elaine, if you agree to pay the money he owes me, if he doesn't pay it, what the Bible says, you have just ensnared yourself with your own words. You've just made yourself responsible. Because even if Liam promises you he's got a foolproof plan that he'll make this money easy, something could always happen and it doesn't fall through. Or it doesn't follow through and the plan falls through. And now, who owes me the money? Liam or you? Yeah, you owe. So for Liam, there's no real risk. It would be you taking all the risk, okay? So that's where the danger is, the Bible says. Let me read you the next few verses. Look at what it says in verse number 3. Do this now, my son. So this is not saying when it's convenient, when you got time, do this. He says, do this now. And deliver thyself. You just got yourself in a trap. You need to get out of this trap. He says, when thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. It means that go plead with him. You want to make sure that he is going to follow through with his commitment to make that money, or you are going to have to pay it. And he also says this, somebody else have verse 4?
Mariela has 6 and Ellie has
7.
12. You have 12? Okay. So verse 4 says, give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. Deliver thyself as a roe from the hand of the hunter, and as a bird from the hand of the fowler. Meaning, if you're like a wild animal being hunted, you don't see wild animals just walk, see a hunter, then like, oh, he's going to get me. I better walk on into the woods. What do the animals do? They run.
They run
as fast as they can.
They run for their lives' sake.
Yep, and that's how the Bible says you should deliver yourself if you're ever in that kind of situation, because you are going to be in a lot of trouble. That's a big trap for a lot of people. So that's why you have to be very careful who you are, what the Bible calls surety or insurance. If you're insuring somebody else, when you say, oh, I'm good for it, or I'll make him good for it. So if he can't pay the money, I'll pay the money. You can be very careful. You put yourself in a trap. Okay?
Why does the animals run away from people?
Well, because
they don't
want to
get shot.
Yep. It's a fear that God put in the animals after the flood.
And they run. Get shot?
Yep, because man hunts the animals. So, does that make sense, you guys?
I love animals.
When it's your turn, to read verse 6. But who, does it, anybody have a verse after verse 4?
I have
12.
You got 12. Liam, what verse do you have?
I have verse 20 through 23.
Oh, okay. So, Rayel, are you ready to read your verse? All right, read it nice and loud so they can hear.
Go ants, thou sluggard.
Go ahead and start over, sweetheart. Read it again. Read it nice and slow.
Go to the ants, thou sluggard. Concern her ways and be wise.
I heard that verse. You heard that verse before?
Yeah, progress.
What is that? That means that God has put things that we can observe in nature, like ants, that we can learn. Look, I'm going to read on what else he says. Talking about the ants, verse 7 says, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. Meaning, there's not a supervisor always watching the ants and making sure the lazy ants are working. Because are ants lazy?
No, they have the instinct to work.
Yep, they work to provide. Not just provide for themselves as an ant, but who are they providing for?
The queen. There's more ants to replace them once they die. And fun fact, ants, adult worker ants don't eat. But that's that thing.
I'd be curious if, fun fact, I might fact check that one, that adult ants don't eat. But it's important, right? They provide food for the queen, but they provide for the whole colony, because you don't see ants wandering in the snow, do you? When it gets cold, wet,
no.
They go underground and they
hibernate.
They wait out the winter. But the point of what Proverbs is saying is, hey, you want to take a lesson in nature? Especially this is important for people who don't like the work. These are for people who we have to constantly get onto them. You need to go brush your teeth. You need to go make your bed. You need to stop dilly-dallying about school and get your school done. Or you need to get back to work. You're not supposed to be lazy and on the job just loafing around. You're supposed to be diligent and earn your money. Work hard. So instead of having somebody over you like that, the Bible gives us an example of watching an ant. And an ant doesn't have to be told to work hard. An ant knows what it's doing and knows it needs to work to the hardest of its ability. If you have that kind of work ethic, you're going to make the supervisor's job easy, and you're going to make it where people can trust you. They don't have to be over you all the time, making sure, are you doing the work? Are you loafing? Are you accomplishing your tasks? And the people that are in charge, when they see you working so hard, they're going to say, that Eliana girl, all I have to do is tell her to do a task one time, and she just does it, and she does it so well. And I don't have to get on to her. I don't have to wonder did she do a good job, or did she just kind of loaf around. That Elena girl, all I have to do is ask her to do just these few things, and she takes care of it. That Liam, man, I don't even have to. He knows what his task is. I don't have to remind him. He just does it, and he comes back and asks what else he can do. That's what it's like to be a good worker, where people don't have to constantly watch you to make sure that you're doing a good job. And you know where we learn all that?
In the Bible.
The Bible points us. We can look at ants and do that. We can see things in nature. We don't have to read a real thick, big book. We just follow the direction that the Bible gives us and says, hey, just take a look at what God made. And if you can learn from what God made and apply those things, you too can have a pretty good reputation, where people will start looking to you and say, he's a hard worker. She's a hard worker. And you provide. That's really good. Good job reading your verse.
And then, what happened? Does the queen die?
No, the queen could die. That's what the ants are supposed to protect her and provide for.
Yep.
Daddy, I killed ants.
Because people could squish them by accident.
Yeah, they could. All right, who's got the next verse?
Me.
No, it's Ellie.
Oh.
It's Ellie.
Verse
12.
A.
Verse
Nazi person, a wicked man, walketh with a
froward
mouth.
Very good.
You're really good at doing
so
that.
So, you think about what a naughty person is. What do you think a naughty person is?
Doing bad. A mischievous person.
Like, it gets into Mama's makeup.
Go ahead and have a seat. Cookies. Yeah. Well, I want you to think about this. When you think of a naughty person, we think of somebody who does wrong. But here's something to consider. When you think of not, it's kind of an old word that means nothing. So, when somebody does wrong, is there any value in what they did?
None.
Is it ever worth it to do wrong?
No.
For some people, they may feel like it, but in the end, when they get caught, or maybe they get thrown into prison, or more importantly, when they have to answer to God for those actions, it's not worth it. Totally not worth it. So, think about a naughty person as somebody who does wrong things that amount to nothing. It's never right to do wrong. Okay? So looking at verse 12, a naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. Froward is a good word that we don't use very often. You guys are familiar with the term to and fro?
Yeah.
Okay? So when you go to something, and fro is walking away. And a froward person is somebody who's always walking the wrong way. Somebody who's going against the right way. And this is how a person talks. A wicked man walketh with a froward mouth. Now that's kind of weird. I thought we walk with our feet. Why would he say he walks with a froward mouth?
It means that he talks against rule.
Mm-hmm.
Often like lies.
Yep. Have you ever heard this term before? That a person who talks a lot or says a lot of bad things, his mouth gets him into trouble?
Yeah.
You heard that term before? That's kind of the idea here, is he walks with a froward mouth. His mouth gets him into a lot of trouble. He's walking, and maybe there's another term, you're cruising for a bruising.
Oh, definitely hear that.
Yeah. Why, you guys say that to each other?
No, Mom said that to us.
Oh.
When Drew gets in trouble,
you're cruising for a bruise.
Uh-huh. That's kind of the idea. Is a person who walks with a froward mouth, he talks in such a way where he's against everybody. He's not for anybody. He's from everybody. He's not to. He's fro. He speaks in such a way where he makes everybody upset. He makes everybody sad. He says hurtful things. He could just never say anything nice. And that's the way his walk is characterized. You can look at that person and his way of life and say, man, this person is just a mean person. And the Bible says, that's what a naughty person does. It's not, meaning it comes to nothing. There's no worth in it. There's no value in it. A wicked man does the same thing. Verse 13 goes on to say this, he winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Whew, this is interesting. He winks with his eyes. Can you guys wink? I know Rayla's pretty good at it. Good. So when somebody winks at their eye, picture this. It's like somebody doing something wrong, and you watch them do something wrong, and they look at you, and they go, kind of like a, don't tell on me. It's okay. That's what a naughty person does. It's what a wicked person does. They know they're doing wrong, but they don't want you to think bad about them. They don't want you to say anything to them. Just, it's okay. I'm okay. We're doing this. And then he says, he speaketh with his feet. Oh, man. The previous verse, we're walking with a mouth, and now we're speaking with our feet. I think we're getting our body parts mixed up. What in the world is he talking about here? What does he mean he speaks with his feet?
It means he runs, and that shows he's in trouble.
Okay. What are some places you think that we shouldn't go?
Saloons.
Okay, we shouldn't go to saloons. So, let's use that as an example. Because what's in a saloon?
Drugs.
Okay, could be some drugs or a lot of drinking. Okay,
please. Alcohol.
Some alcohol. So if we're not supposed to go there, right, because we're concerned about our testimony with other people, but also we're concerned about our body. If we're a Christian, our body belongs to who?
To God.
Belongs to God, right? So what are we telling people when we walk into places like that?
Giving them a bad testimony.
We're giving them a bad testimony. We're communicating, not with our mouth, but we're communicating with our feet, because our feet take us to the places. You ever heard this term before? Your walk, or your talk talks, and your walk talks. But your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You guys ever heard that before?
No,
yeah.
Oh, man. A
couple of times.
Man, if we wrote Proverbs today, that would be in there. I'm sure of it. You want to say it again with me? Your talk talks.
Your talk talks.
And your walk talks.
And your walk talks.
But your walk talks louder
than your
talk
talks.
All right, that's what that verse is talking about. So he communicates. He speaks with his feet. And he teaches with his fingers. Yeah. So, you ever put Legos together?
Yeah.
Okay, who is typically watching you put Legos together?
If I'm building Legos in my room while Jude's asleep, it would probably be Baby Jude.
Yeah, Baby Jude's probably watching you. But who are troublesome too that are also watching you?
Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Yep, they're watching you too. They're watching how you do it. And what do you think they're gonna do when they get Lego pieces?
They're going to do the same thing.
Yep, they're gonna try to do the exact same thing. So just like we see that Drew and Declan watch when we put dishes in the dishwasher and we start pushing buttons to start the dishwasher, guess what they're gonna wanna do?
Buttons.
Yep, they're going to push buttons, right? So what it's saying here is that what you do, you're teaching other people. When you think about you're being a person of influence. And the reason why I use the illustration with your younger siblings is because who do you think your little brothers are watching a lot?
Movies.
No, not that. They're watching you guys. Oh, they all obey what Mom and I should say. But when they hear us, they may obey what we say, but they're really going to watch what you guys do. And so if they think it's cool for you to do, if you think it's cool to do certain things, they're going to watch you, and they're going to want to do the exact same thing. So you got to be careful what you do, okay? And be careful what you say, how you respond to each other, and how you talk to Mom and Dad. They're watching you, and they're going to respond to us the exact same way. As a matter of fact, we saw that with you two, and that was based off of you two. When you were younger, and you wanted to have your way, and we told you to go do something, you would say something like, "No, I'm not."
No, I'm not.
And you know what? You know who started picking up on that? These two started to say the same thing because they'd watch Big Brother and Big Sister do that. And then they started doing that. Even if we told them it was wrong to do, they are going to be very much influenced by the things that you do. So Proverbs says here that a bad person, these are all the things that a bad person does. He does teach with his hands. Be careful what you say, what you do, where you go, because you are always going to impact somebody, and you're going to impact people you don't even think about. You're going to impact people you don't even know are watching you. Okay? So be very, very careful with that. All right, who's got the next verse?
Me.
No, you read your verse, verse 6.
Yeah, I do. I actually have the next three verses.
All right, Liam, go
ahead. 22, 23. What?
No.
24.
No. Let me just read it. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee.
Well, that's pretty cool. So let's look at verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment. What does it mean to keep something?
It means to grab hold and possess it as your own.
Like this.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it means don't...
My book.
Don't what?
Don't throw it away.
Don't throw it away. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. So if we gave you something really important or really valuable, which we can share. If we gave you something really important or really, really valuable, we would say, keep this and don't lose it. Okay? Because it's valuable. It's important. It's precious. You shouldn't throw it away. It's a good point. You shouldn't lose it. You hold on to it. He says, and he says, forsake not the law of thy mother. What does that mean to forsake something?
Forsake means to abandon.
Yeah. That means to say, psh, I don't need this. Not important to me anymore. And the reason why we don't want to do this, but look what it says in verse 21, what we should do. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Why is that important about our heart?
Because it's mostly in charge.
Yeah, we
it's
learned about
charge.
That. The not, heart is in charge.
Not the physical blood pumping heart.
The brain.
It's basically a train station.
So if the heart is in charge, is it good for the heart to be in charge by itself, or should something or someone be in control of it?
Someone should be in charge of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's us.
Because we can't trust our heart. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?
God.
God does. The very next verse, it talks about only God knows how wicked we are in our hearts. So Proverbs says that we're to bind them continually upon our heart, because where are the decisions made? When we get angry and we hit something, or we get angry and we yell, where does that all come from?
The heart.
It comes from the heart. And if we take the commands, it goes from the heart out the mouth. That's right. The Bible teaches that. Jesus taught that in Matthew chapter 12 about the treasures of our heart. And the Bible says we need to take what our parents are teaching us and bind them continually upon thine heart. Meaning what should be coming out of you should be the good things mom and dad are teaching you that come from God's word. Now here's a weird one. Tie them about thy neck. That's an odd one. Does that mean like get a collar or have some, dear Liam, please do your homework, and then tie that note around your neck? That'd be kind of awkward then.
No.
What do you think that means?
The choker neck.
It means to keep it memorized. Keep it in your head. And don't let it... In the old days, and I don't know how old this is, but fathers would tie a message around every boy's finger, so in case they would get mad and feel like they're going to punch somebody, they would see the little note and it would remind them of... did not get angry.
That's a good point. It's kind of like, you ever see people, ever seen the picture, there's a finger and there's a little string tied to the finger?
Yeah. I can imagine that.
Mm-hmm. So it's like a reminder. That's what that means, is a reminder. But here's something else to consider. When you put something around your neck, and back in Bible days, they would adorn themselves with like chains, with necklaces, jewelry, things that look nice. And if you, what it's saying here too, is that if you take what you are learning from your parents and you are tying them about your neck, meaning you characterize your life by the precepts, by the principles, the truths that we're teaching you from the Bible, people will notice. It'll be in a place where you'll always know it's there, right? Because when you got to put on jewelry, or daddy puts on a tie, or mom puts on jewelry, do we just wake up with it on, or do we have to think about putting it on at the start of the day?
I have to think about it.
Yep, you got to think about it at the start of the day, and then you go the rest of the day with that on you. It's the same idea when you think about the beginning of the day. You think about the things mom and dad are teaching you, the things that you're getting out of God's word. You want that tied around your neck. You want to be intentional about applying that in your life so that it characterizes your life throughout the day. Elena?
What is bonnet?
What?
A bonnet. The one that you said about wrapping around your neck.
Bonnets?
Mm-hmm. Don't know the bonnets.
Bind it.
Kind of like tying it. All right. So now look at the next verse that Liam read. Verse 22, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. What it's talking about there is it directs you when you go. It'll direct you. When you sleep, it'll protect you. And when you awake, it'll talk with you. It'll communicate with you. So it's something that is not just a rule that you think about, but when it comes to God's Word, it's something that you can meditate on. Meditating, what do you guys think it means to meditate on it?
Oh, when I think of meditating, I think of monks. Monks are always going to chapel and study and pray. That's basically what meditate means. It means to focus on one thing in a religious practice.
Okay, that's a very astute and scholarly answer. When you guys watch a movie and something really funny happens in the movie, what do you guys typically do after the movie's turned off and you go to bed? What do you guys do? You laugh, and what do? You say the lines over and over again. And we know this because the next morning, you don't finish your breakfast because you're too busy laughing with Cheerios blowing out of your mouth because you rehearse the words, and it's a funny joke over and over and over. That's the idea when you think about God's Word that Mom and Dad are trying to teach you, is that when you sleep, it'll protect you because you're doing the right thing, trusting God's Word. You can lay your head down and sleep. You know, the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. There's a lot of protection when you're trusting in God's Word. And when you wake up in the morning, it's going to be there for you to talk to you. That's why we get you guys up early in the morning to do what?
Bible reading.
Yep, Bible reading.
First, we have to read with God before we get ready in the morning.
And we don't have to laugh and blow cheers out of our mouth.
Hot chocolate.
Yeah.
No, don't
eat a bird.
You got to get your heart and mind in the right place. Okay, let's go ahead and we'll close with this, okay? I'm going to read a few verses, and then we will talk about them, and we'll pray, okay? The Bible says in verse number 16, these six things that the Lord hate. Whoa. That should get our attentions, right? If you wanted to know some things that God hate, go ahead and open up your Bible.
What do you think they are?
What do you think God hates?
Sin, lying, first of all.
Lying, stealing, those are two things I forget. Cheating.
What do you think God hates, Ellie?
What?
Fighting.
Fighting.
If you're going to pick six things that God hates, what do you think they'd be?
We got four.
The first one is...
Fighting. He hates stealing. Fighting. Hurting.
Oh, hurting! We didn't think of that, so that depends.
Murder. All right, let's see how much of this is on the list. Let's see if you guys make the list. We could do like a survey says on this one. He says, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Here's item number one, a proud look.
Ooh, I like it like you.
A proud look. Here's number two, a lying tongue.
We got that one.
Well, we said lying, so that means a lying tongue.
How about this one? In hands that shed innocent blood.
That's my conclusion of murder.
Yep.
Yeah, murder. We got that one.
I have Cain.
Okay.
Yep, we nailed that down.
How about this one? An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations.
Ooh,
we talked about the heart, right?
Yeah, but I don't think we got that in our list.
Maybe not. Maybe not. You don't. You don't have that in your list, I'm sure. But it's the kind of heart, it's what somebody's passions, their greatest desires, is they're always thinking of ways to do wrong. Or they're always thinking of ways to hurt somebody else. God hates it. How about this one right here? Feet that be swift in running to mischief.
I think we got that one, right?
No.
We didn't.
So here's a perfect example. I'm not going to say which child.
I know who.
Because it's likely all of you. But when we tell you not to do something when you may have been 2 or 3 years old, and as soon as we put you down, you go and you do it anyway. Matter of fact, you had a cousin who had that happen. You guys remember?
Keenan.
He was trying to play with the light socket with a metal utensil. And your uncle got onto him and said, "No, you don't do that." And what did he do right away?
Oh, it's
right away when nobody was looking.
Had to figure it out.
Yeah, he was saying, "My will be done." And so when he did that, what do you think happened?
He got shocked.
And so God looked at this and says, "I don't like it when people are so quick to do wrong." God says, "I hate it. I hate it when people are so quick to do wrong." And it's not that they did it on accident. They're swift in running to mischief. They want to do bad, really, really bad. Here's another one. A false witness that speaketh lies. So we talked about a lying tongue, but a false witness is something a bit stronger because it's lying about somebody else. Oftentimes we call that slander.
Gossip.
And gossip. It's very hurtful. God hates it. And it says here, the last one. Remember he said six things he hates.
But actually, there's seven.
The seven is an abomination. Meaning, this isn't just something that God hates. God absolutely abhors this. He detests this. He cannot stand this. And look what it is. Look at verse number 19.
This is the monster
one. This is the monster one, right? The big one. And he that soweth discord among the brethren. It's the kind of person that says things and does things that causes brothers and sisters, families, whether it's God's family or our family or other families, to fight amongst themselves, to be divided. And God says, "I hate that. I loathe when people do that." Very hurtful. That happens. Yes, Elena?
What's abomination mean?
Abomination means to abhor something. It is a
serious,
serious sin. It's not just the kind of sin where God says, "I hate this." It's the kind of sin that says this is so severe that I'm going to have to punish this right away. There are certain sins in the Bible that God says are abominations, meaning the consequences for certain sins, even all sin is sin, but there are certain consequences for sin that that people who do those things, they will experience immediate repercussions.
What?
Meaning they will get in trouble really quick. There are certain consequences for things they do.
What is when they say in the abomination that horrible
thing? Abhor means you just couldn't stand it and you had to get rid of it.
Oh.
That's a good way to put it. So let's keep those in mind, you guys. When Daddy was your age, my dad made me memorize this list. Maybe we'll have some new Bible verses to be memorizing. So we know to stay away from the things that God doesn't like. All right, let's do some prayer requests, and we will close for tonight. We got a few here.
Finally, I'm going to fall asleep.
You're going to fall asleep, kiddo? All right. So we need to pray for Pastor Scott, who's going to be preaching on Sunday. He's asked for prayer, and it's always a good idea to be praying for all of our leaders. We're praying for Pastor Scott especially. Because all pastors need prayer. Your daddy needs prayer. Every pastor needs prayer leading the people. But Pastor Scott has asked for prayer for preaching this Sunday. So who would like to pray for Pastor Scott?
Me.
All right. Liam will give that one to you. And we have Alan Schmidt's Uncle Carl is having surgery tomorrow morning. Who wants to pray? You can call him Uncle Carl for tonight.
Me.
You want to pray for Uncle Carl for his surgery? Okay. Ask God to bless that he will come through okay, and the doctors will do well, okay? And then we also want to pray for our goodie bag outreach, okay?
Yay.
We're getting close to 2,000 plus goodie bags.
Wow!
Out where people are going to hear about the gospel, hear how they can have their sins forgiven and be on their way to heaven. You want to pray for that? Okay.
We have 2,000.
And, oh man, Liam, you got out of this one. We need someone to pray for Sterling and Stacy.
I'll pray for that.
You want to pray for that? Okay.
I'm saying.
All right, and then I will pray for Baby Jewel and for Melina. Yep, that's right. We're praying for Baby Jewel. We're going to pray that because she's has a very similar situation that Jude had. Baby Jude with his kidneys.
It's
and
very rare.
Yeah, we're going to need to pray for that as well. Okay, so we'll go ahead and start with the sleepy one first, and then we'll go this way. And then I will close in prayer. Okay?
Ray, how about we just work the board only backwards?
All right. Rayla, do you remember? You're praying for Uncle Carl. All right, let's pray, guys.
Do you just pray for Uncle Carl? to feel better. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Your turn, Molly.
This?
Oh, no.
Dear Jesus, please. Thank you for us to hand out 2,000 goodie bags. Help us to get done handing out the goodie bags. Help the people that get them will be saved and listen to your word every Sunday. In Jesus' precious name.
Dear Jesus, thank you for this day. Pray for Sterling and Stacy to
be healed, be safe.
Be safe and recover and stop the coronavirus. And I pray for the beautiful weather tomorrow. And I pray that our friends look good. Sick. I pray that we have a good night's sleep rest. Thank you for Winston Moon's name. Thank you for letting us hear your word and reading it. In Jesus' name, amen. Your turn, William.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
You're praying for
Pastor Scott.
Pastor Scott.
I know, but we went.
Go ahead. Just go ahead and pray.
Alright. Dear Jesus, I pray for Pastor Scott as he's thinking of the second part of his sermon today and help him to pick the right words to speak. And Jesus, I'm praying. And
Father, we thank you that we can pray to you for anything because of your son Jesus. We have complete access to you. And we do lift up baby Jules and for Melina as well, just praying for the Donald family that you would first of all give them comfort and confidence in your grace. We pray for that little baby girl that you would heal her. We pray for the doctor's wisdom. I think it's also neat knowing that you bring many of us through certain journeys so that we can be an encouragement and be really empathetic for the fears and concerns that are there. I just pray that you would show yourself, manifest yourself to this family, that you'd have your hand of protection and grace upon them and for healing for them. I pray again also for Pastor Scott. I thank you for his integrity to the Word of God and his loyalty to the call of preaching the Word. I pray that you would fill him with wisdom and with a clear understanding of what the Word of God has, but also I pray also for our hearts to be receptive to the Word of God and that you'd work in our hearts just as we are asking for you to work in his heart, because ultimately our accountability is to you for our actions, and our hope is in you. And so I pray that you would fill him with boldness and with clarity to write what you would have for us to learn. And I pray also again for our outreach opportunity. Thank you for our church that has been so enthusiastic about this. And I pray for the gospel as it's being shared, that your word would not return void, but work in the hearts of those who need to hear it, especially at a time such as this. Again, we pray for Alan's Uncle Carl going in for surgery. Pray that you give the doctor's wisdom and skill of hands to perform the surgery tomorrow morning, and that he would come through and have a speedy recovery. And we pray also for Sterling and for Stacy and for their co-workers as well. I pray for their protection. I pray for, as you give opportunity for Sterling and Stacy to be an example and to be a witness, that they would be able to share the hope of Christ. We thank you for your goodness and ask you to bless us the rest of this week and apply what we've learned from your Proverbs. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us this evening. And I hope you do tune in for Sunday's message. And to our church family, we love you and we are praying for you. Looking forward to hearing from you. God bless.
Bye.